This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. So we have really, really good news. This SPLC thing, Southern Poverty Law Center thing, it's really good news. It's a great story. We'll talk about that. We're going to get to, yes, some emails. We'll talk about Trump again extending the ceasefire, holding things off. The why about that. Democrats are dirty thieves. I get into some of your darker emails. All that and so much more to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to rewind, though. We're going to rewind before we talk about this SPLC story. I want to look back on Charlottesville, Virginia. And the reason I want to look back on this is it was the start of so many things that defined what happened in the years after Charlottesville, Virginia. So, what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia? There was a big riot slash protest, and then a counter riot slash protest. Maybe you remember this. This is years ago, but maybe you remember this. And who were the protesters? What was going on? Well, there were these groups of white supremacists. And they, of course, I forget who they said they hated. Black people or Jews or Mexicans. I don't know. But they were obviously white supremacists and Nazis. Groups of them. I remember they were all wearing khakis and they were carrying around tiki torches like the ones you buy in Home Depot. Okay? Well, let's just drill down on that for a second. How long have you been involved, interested in politics? I've been involved for 20 years. Yeah, a little more than 20 years I've been involved in politics. I've never run into these groups. I've never run into these types of people. I've been to a lot of political events. Where did this group come from? We'll come back to that. There were also, in response to these evil Nazis, there were, of course, counter groups. Stop racism, guys. Just communist street animals out there. Surprise, surprise. When you get groups of people like that together, they started clashing in the street. It ended up somebody died. I think they got run over by a car, if I remember right. Someone died in the whole thing. And the media jumped all over this thing. They loved it. Donald Trump was president at the time. And for them, a Nazi rally and the Nazis killed somebody while Trump is president? Oh, boy. So much so that they tried to nail Trump down on this. And this is what Trump said.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
That's all he said. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes he called Nazis very fine people, but that's just because she's stupid. I just played the audio. That's what he said. All right. Well, what happened from there? Remember, communists lie about everything all the time. They do not share your moral framework at all. You have nothing in common morally with a communist. For a communist, moving the revolution forward is the only moral good. And if you have to lie, cheat, rob, rape, steal, there are no rules when it comes to moving the communist revolution forward. They started to run with this. You probably remember the headlines. Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. Trump's a Nazi who loves Nazis. Trump called Nazis very fine people. How widespread did this get? Joe Biden decides to throw his hat in the ring and run for president. Keep in mind, this is the election they would eventually steal. Hey, Joe, why'd you run?
I ran for president in 2020 because of what I saw in Charlottesville. In August of 2017, extremists coming out of the woods, carrying torches, their veins bulging from their necks, carrying Nazi swastikas, and chanting the same exact anti-Semitic bile that was heard in Germany in the early 30s. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and the Ku Klux Klan. So emboldened by a president then in the White House that they saw as an ally.
Whoa. Joe saw those Nazis, and he saw what Trump said, and he knew he had to run. They talked about it all the time. I mean, all the time. They mentioned it.
When the president decided to run for president is what he saw in Charlottesville in 2017. When he saw neo-Nazis marching down the streets of Charlottesville with vile anti-Semitic just hatred. And he's continued to be clear. There is no place for this type of this kind of rhetoric.
Chuck Schumer spread the lie.
When in Charlottesville, when they rioted against the Jews and wanted to harass or even burn down a temple, he said both sides have merit.
Dome ran with it.
Let's remember Charlottesville, where there was a mob of people carrying tiki torches, spewing anti-Semitic hate. And what did the president then at the time say? There were fine people on each side.
Now, this is where it gets interesting. We're going to continue to fast forward. Before we talk about what happened today, we're going to fast forward from there. Joe Biden lies, says he ran for president because Trump called Nazis fine people. Every Democrat, every communist media outlet ran with this whole thing, very fine people, very fine people, very fine people. But then Joe Biden stole an election and these people took power. Whoa. Remember, they ran to stop these Nazis. So what was campaign fodder, of course a lie, but campaign fodder, then became policy. What was the head of the FBI or the Attorney General of the United States of America, when they went to work every day, what were they using the forces of government to tackle?
A huge chunk of those domestic terrorism investigations involve racially motivated, violent, extremist-motivated terrorist attacks. And the majority of those, of the racially motivated, violent, extremist attacks, are fueled by some kind of white supremacy.
The FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
But again, back to what we talked about before, you've never met these people. You've never met these white supremacists. You've never met these Nazis, these people who do Nazi salutes and talk about how Hitler's great. And you've been to Republican events. You've watched Tea Parties. Maybe you're old enough you've been to Tea Parties. You've been to Trump rallies. Why haven't you ever met these people? And what's the angle here? If you haven't met them, what's the angle here? Well, the angle was quite simple. Once you lie about that white supremacists are out there committing acts of terror, what it does is it gives you the justification, the predicate you need to use the forces of government against these people and against the ones who are associated with these people, running on the idea that white supremacy is taking over America. Then you get elected. Then you use the forces of government to tackle those evil white supremacist terrorists. But oh, wouldn't you look at that? Surprise, surprise. In tackling all those evil white supremacists, you ended up arresting and imprisoning a bunch of Republicans. It just so happened all that campaign rhetoric
that started all the way back in Charlottesville ended up working out great for you politically because it allowed you to arrest the people who run against you all the time. Which brings me, of course, to something we have talked about over and over and over and over again. You can never, ever, ever look at any kind of a protest or a riot or something like that in the United States of America and assume it is genuine. You always, always have to assume it is a paid-for professional op. It is an operation. They are running operations all the time, planning operations all the time, funding operations all the time. They're funding new ones as we speak, ones that you and I will find out about shortly. They have groups on standby as we speak, ready to jump on whatever the next news story is to run an op. How deep do they go when they run these ops? Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So it all began, the Biden presidency, the Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, arresting Republicans. It all began because of a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, these white supremacists, how did they get there? I'm going to play you Cash Patel. I'm going to play a few bits of audio. This is FBI Director Cash Patel.
They used their donor network to raise money to purportedly dismantle violent extremist groups. However, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, used the money they raised from their donor network to actually pay the leadership of these very groups. I just want to say that again. They used the fraudulently raised money by lying to their donor network, thousands of Americans, to go ahead and actually pay the leadership of these supposed violent extremist groups. The groups, as the general laid out, include the Ku Klux Klan, the United Klans of America, Unite to Right, National Alliance, the National Socialist Movement, the Aryan Nation Motorcycle Club, and the National Socialist Party of America, and also the American Front. They attempted to hide their criminal activity from our financial banking network. They set up shell companies and entities around America so that the financial institutions that we rely on as everyday Americans were deceived in believing that money was not coming from the Southern Poverty Law Center in the perpetration of this scheme and fraud, but rather fictitious entities they stood up to perpetuate this ongoing fraud.
The Communist Front Group, the SPLC, raised money from donors and then paid the KKK and other Nazi groups in the country to show up in Charlottesville, and then they blamed it on you, ran for president, stole an election, and threw you in prison. I'll go to Acting AG Todd Blanche. He had a few things to say today about
it. In the Middle District of Alabama, a grand jury returned an 11-count indictment charging the Southern Poverty Law Center with 6 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of bank fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy to commit money laundering. According to the charges in the indictment, the SPLC is a nonprofit entity that purports to fight white supremacy and racial hatred by reporting on extremist groups and conducting research to inform law enforcement groups with the goal of dismantling these groups. As the indictment describes, the SPLC was not dismantling these groups. It was instead manufacturing the extremism it purports to oppose by paying sources to stoke racial hatred.
Reporter asked them about it.
I want to make sure I understand. You're alleging that the Southern Poverty Law Center was paying the leaders of KKK and other groups to continue their operations? Is that...
I'm not alleging it. The grand jury returned an indictment that says that. And so what the investigation found, according to the indictment that was returned today, is that they were paying. So the Southern Poverty Law Center is raising money, asking folks to give them money to dismantle racism. And over a very long period of time, they were using some of the money they raised from donors to pay to, they call them field, basically to informants, to for information, for access, to just pay them for certain to do certain things. And so, yes, that's exactly what the indictment charges.
One more from Todd Blanche. Unbelievable how planned, deceitful, and evil all this was. And do keep in mind, again, at the end of all this, FBI, they threw Republicans in prison. That was the end result of an op that began in Charlottesville by a communist front.
One troubling example is that the SPLC was paying a member of the leadership group that planned the Unite the Right protest in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017 that resulted in the death of one person and injured dozens more. This particular person being paid by the SPLC allegedly received approximately $270,000 over the course of 8 years.
$270,000. A communist front group paid white supremacist groups to do white supremacist things so communists could pretend that white supremacism was on the move in the country. They used it to install a communist president who was surrounded by communists. And after that, communists did what communists always do. They used it to justify sending the forces of government after their political opponents. That is the kind of enemy we are dealing with in this country. And that is something you have to keep in mind when your emotions start to get tugged one way or the other. By video, by pictures, by this, by that. I don't know about you. I remember like it was yesterday, in the wake of that rally in Charlottesville, how many people on the right felt the need to run to the news and run to social media and say, you know, there really is no place for white supremacy. I'm really horrified by this whole thing. My niece is Mexican, and I'll tell you what, this whole thing really angers me. I can't believe this. I have Jewish grandparents. My father is black. I got to tell you, we have some racists in our midst, and we need to smite them out. You complete and utter suckers and morons. It was all a communist op. Communists lie about everything all the time. We have to understand how they operate and why they operate that way. It is all an operation designed to deceive so they can move the revolution forward by doing things like sending the force of government after their political opponents. That's how these people operate. We'll do some emails before we get to this latest stuff on Iran and other things. Before we do that, let me make your business life easier. You don't need to deal with all these different insurance people. Well, this is my workman's comp guy, but this is the health guy. Why don't you let SuperSure handle all that for you? One super agency. They, by the way, they'll give you a full report with no obligation on the policies you currently have. Because I promise you, you are overinsured in some areas and underinsured in others. Everyone is. SuperSure will work that out for you. Then, they'll get you everything you need. No, you need this part of this. You don't need that. No, you have to go get this. You don't have to deal with multiple people anymore. One person, one super agency, SuperSure. They handle it all. Don't you want to just talk to one person? Go to supersure.com/Jesse and make your freaking life easier. supersure.com/Jesse. All right? I watched my dad complain about insurance forever. He would have killed for SuperSure, I'll tell you that much. Paid for by SuperSure Insurance Agency, LLC, a licensed insurance agency. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, let's do some emails. Another civil war, this one's called. I'm worried that we're heading for another civil war. James Carville outlined what Democrats will do when they next take power. I worry that a Democrat-packed Supreme Court will decide that individuals don't have Second Amendment rights, and that will be the start of it. And I actually think the left wants the war because they think they will win. What can we do to prevent this from happening? Says his name is Chip. Well, we have to win elections. I know that's so boring, isn't it? We have to win elections. But if you want to go deeper than that, you want me to expand beyond that. Who do you train with? Do you train with your weapon? And setting your weapon aside, in your local area, your area, not on social media, not somebody you're Facebook friends with, who in your area have you talked to about, hey, things go bad. You have emergency food? I have some emergency food. We should get some of that. If power goes out, we can't, no communications. We're going to meet at my house or your house. You don't have to, again, you don't have to be the weirdo in the neighborhood. Do you have four or five friends, four or five different families, if you're a family, that say, hey, this is where we're going to meet. Everyone bring your stuff to our garage. Then we'll hash things out from there. If you want true protection against any future evils that may come, and God only knows what those future evils will be, you have to have a network. You have to have a group. And I don't care if you go to the range every single weekend and put a couple thousand rounds through your weapons and you can shoot the balls off of a gnat. None of that matters if you don't have a network of people who can support each other if something bad does happen. It's important to start developing these networks now. Oh, but that's paranoid. Well, guess what? When you actually need it, it's too late to start. And I want to, again, emphasize, I don't need you to be low-crawling through the neighborhood with your weapon taking cover behind mailboxes. That's not what I'm saying at all. Who's got the water? Who's got ammo? Where are we meeting? What is our communications plan? What if we... These are simple conversations to have, and if you're a dude especially, look, I understand full well the ladies are going to roll their eyes at this. Ob rolls her eyes at every survival thing I do, but if you're a dude, I guarantee you the other dudes in your life, they'll enjoy these conversations. It's a fun conversation. We should meet here. This is something you have to begin now, and on top of it potentially being majorly important one day, it makes you feel better. And let me explain, because I have a couple dark emails. So this will really apply to a lot. This applies to me as well. In fact, I'll make this about me. Politics, if you're a highly political person, it can get really, really lonely. This is what we get on our phones. I do this. I get on my phone when I'm wake up in the morning. Sometimes, like today, Ob was gone. She was substitute teaching. The boys are gone. They're at school. I'm alone in my house. Well, I want to start getting some stuff ready for the show, sending stuff in. So, plus I'm interested in it. Boom. Where am I? I'm on my phone looking at news sites, looking at this, texting people, trying to get information for you. But I'm not sitting there with a group of people, and the things I'm consuming through my phone, lots of them are crappy and sad. And eventually we feel hopeless and we feel alone because we sit alone and we consume bad news all the time. When you start getting with a group of people, developing a group of people, I don't care if you guys meet for beers on a Friday night. When you develop a group of people, you don't feel alone anymore. You feel like there are others like you. You can talk to them about things, argue about things, plan for certain things. You feel so much better when you start developing a network of people to deal with. And if you're a loner like I am, a bit of an antisocial type, I know that sounds ominous. You don't got to hang out with people every day, I swear. But find some people in your life, all right? As far as Civil War goes, look, there's nothing communists won't do. That is true. But you should also get this. Communists do understand that we being super armed, the American citizen being super armed, it does prevent them from doing certain things. They've always understood that. That's why they've always done everything they can to get as many guns as they possibly can. It was never about crime or dead kids or mass shootings. The plan was always to disarm you so they can hurt you. Democrats want to disarm you so they can hurt you. Disarm you so they can hurt you. This is what goes through their minds. As long as we remained armed, oh, they can do all kinds of things, don't get me wrong. But it is our bulwark against things going too far. And that's a very good thing. Dear Jesse, please be honest with us and yourself in admitting we are in a losing battle. You always harp on being honest. Be honest. It feels like the elephant in the room, kind of. Everybody knew we were headed to... All right, so the guy goes on. He basically finishes it and says, we're so screwed. All right. I have been honest, and I'm being honest with you. I don't necessarily think you're being fair when you say we are screwed, that we can't recover, that we can't save the place. We might not be able to save the place. I've always been honest. When have I ever said anything but that? I've never guaranteed you final victory over the communists in this country. I've never said that. We might be screwed, but we might not be screwed. You know, if the Titanic is going down, sinking into the water and taking on water, you start bailing water in the interest of possibly being able to save it. Well, we can't save it. Maybe you're right. They couldn't save the Titanic. Maybe you're right. But I guarantee you we can't save it if we give up. We are, right now, if you're on the right, we have political headwinds coming our way. There's no question. We took a tough loss last night in Virginia, and so a lot of people were down today. The poll numbers look like November could be a catastrophe. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. We hear their plans.
The Democrats win the presidency in both houses of Congress. I think on day one, they should make Puerto Rico, D.C. a state, and they should expand the Supreme Court to 13. F*** it. Eat our dust. The only way to fight this is don't run on it. Don't talk about it. Just do it.
We hear things like that. Oh, my gosh, that would be the end of us. They're going to finish us all. And then we see some political headwinds coming our way in November, and we think it's hopeless. We're done. I don't know that. And neither do you. Don't sign yourself up for certain doom when it may not exist. And that's a very good point, Chris. Remember that we are fighting so our children and their children can live some semblance of the lives we have lived in this country. My interest is for my sons and their sons after them. I'm going to try to bail enough water on the Titanic, if it is the Titanic, to make sure I can get them through maybe their lives without having to suffer something horrible like a civil war. And then maybe, Lord willing, the grandkids too. And I don't know whether we're going to do that. I've never promised you that. But if we don't try, I guarantee we can't. Speaking of war, let's talk Iran real quick. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We'll get back to emails in just a moment, but I wanted to touch on something that happened with Iran. As you know, the deadline was about there. ceasefire over. Trump continues to say, we'll bomb you back to the Stone Age, that kind of thing. Now, here's something interesting that has been happening over the past couple weeks. I have been explaining that Donald Trump doesn't want to bomb Iran. Donald Trump is completely aware of the things I have been saying. He's obviously very intelligent and highly informed. And people have taken the things I've been saying as some sort of a brutal criticism of Trump, and they get offended by the whole thing. I don't give a crap if you're offended. Trump knows everything I said is true. If you proceed to bomb Iran back to the Stone Age, if you start dropping these bombs, it's not just that the markets will react. The global economy will react in such a way that people will see prices go up. Prices are already going up because of what we're doing there. Donald Trump sits in the White House because of affordability. Democrats are going to run on affordability. If we are the party that decided to launch a war and raise the prices on people who were mad about high prices, we are going to get annihilated in the midterms, and Donald Trump is going to be impeached every 15 minutes. And if anything I just said offends you, I don't give a crap. Donald Trump knows every word of what I just said is true. He knows all of it. Why do you think, once again, Trump announced, hey, I know the ceasefire was going to end, but look, things are confusing, and I'll get to that in a moment. Things are confusing in Iran right now. Not quite yet. You know what? Not quite yet. We'll give it another few days, another 3 days, maybe another 5 days. Not quite yet. Now, what justification did he use? A pretty legitimate justification. Probably totally true. He said, well, they're not coordinated, all the Iranian leadership. And of course, they're not. There are so many people saying that civilian leadership is more moderate and wants to do a deal. The generals of the IRGC, much more hardcore. They don't want to do a deal. They're not in agreement. They're not unified. So who do you strike a deal with? If you strike a deal with this civilian, maybe this general, blah, blah, blah. Look, you start killing the leadership of a different government, you're going to end up with a confusing leadership situation. Maybe I'll explain it to you this way. What if China came over here and they decided, and they killed Donald Trump, and they killed J.D. Vance, and they killed Mike Johnson, and they killed John Thune, and they killed Chuck Schumer, and they killed Nancy Pelosi. They were just dropping all these bombs. They killed the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and they killed the, and they killed that. And then China comes and says, hey, peace agreement time. Who are we meeting with? Well, let me ask you, who are we sending? Who are we sending? A general? Who? What general? From where? A governor, maybe, since we killed all these other people? Which governor? Gavin Newsom's the governor of the largest, most powerful state in the United States of America. Are you comfortable with Gavin Newsom negotiating a peace deal with China on our behalf? You think that would cause some internal strife? You think maybe some parts of our country would be all, no. Again, complicated. Who do you even negotiate with? Do they even have the power to strike that deal and enforce that deal? So it's an ugly mess. I just wanted to, again, remind you, when I say pushing this thing further than it has already gone would be a political slash economic bomb on the United States of America, on our political system, because of what it would be a disaster. And Donald Trump knows it. Told you the other day that I think he's stressed. Got all kinds of stupid emails about that. Don't say that. Oh, shut up. Put the pom-poms down. He's obviously stressed because he has to have this thing end, or his presidency probably ends, as Democrats are just going to kneecap everything he tries to do for the next 2 years. It's important. He knows it's important. So I'll say one more time, pray. It is a time to pray, not to wave your stupid pom-poms. Trump, he's our man. It is a time to pray
for a peace deal so Trump can come back home. I'm telling you something. Remember that ad I played yesterday out of Gretchen Whitmer when she was talking about affordability? Yeah, she's full of crap. I get that. But remember? Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Things are too expensive. I'm going to work on making things affordable. That's what Democrats are currently saying into the news cameras. This is what Republicans are saying. Here's Senator Roger Marshall.
Look, this is the time to stand behind our president, behind our military. Could you imagine Iran with a nuclear weapon? If Iran had a nuclear weapon, gasoline would be $10 a gallon. And for generations to come,
do you have any idea how badly we're going to get slaughtered in the midterms if they're running on affordability? And our comeback to that is, well, it'd be more expensive if Iran had a nuke. We better get home because the GOP can't message. We don't have any idea what we're doing. We're not running on the great things Trump has done, the deportations, the tax cuts, the deregulation. There are good things that have happened out there that we should be running on and talking about every second of every day. Instead, we have weapons-grade goopers like this going on the news, disenfranchising yet another normie who's going to go vote for Democrats.
Look, this is the time to stand behind our president, behind our military. Could you imagine Iran with a nuclear weapon? If Iran had a nuclear weapon, gasoline would be $10 a gallon.
Well, we just drove up the cost of gas, and we're making things less affordable, but I'll tell you what, it'd be worse if Iran had a nuke. Can we, please, I'm begging. I'm actually begging. I don't like to beg. I find it to be unmanly, but this is me right here begging every Republican and Republican staffer who's currently listening. Can we please not message like this ever again? Please, I'm begging you. If they're running on affordability and we're running on Iranian nuclear dust, we are going to get massacred in November. Please stop. Please. All right? And please get something on you, carry something on you that will allow you to stop a bad man from hurting you. I was just at a big gun show. NRA came to town, had a gigantic gun show. Yeah, I spent some money. I'm not going to talk about it. But NRA had a gigantic gun show downtown. And I went up there, and who do I run into right off the bat? Byrna. There's a line at the Byrna shop. The word is out there now. Everyone knows. There is a non-lethal that is legal in all 50 states that you can carry without a permit or a background check. It's about the size of your smartphone. Fits in your little purse, fits on a holster. There is no excuse to walk around completely unarmed now. There are violent monsters all over this society because Democrats have put them there. What are you carrying to stop that monster from massacring you? Byrna is saving lives every day. Government agencies carry them, SWAT teams, private security firms. They shoot tear gas balls, pepper balls, kinetic rounds. Go pick one up. You can even try it before you buy it at Sportsman's Warehouse, by the way. BYRNA, Byrna.com. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.